Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name, Lord of the church. And it is good to be together in the assembly, the house of God. One of the things I thought about as I prepared for this message was that it's been a while since I've had the privilege and the responsibility of preaching a message here at Fourth Avenue. I think it was in December that we gave Brother Keith a month off because of his responsibilities, moving, and some of the things that were all taking place in their lives. And he said, well, I'd like to return the favor in January. So I took him up on that, and it's been 6 weeks since I've stood here. I've thought about this message throughout the last week or two in particular, and there is a thought I've been wrestling with. It's come up different times, and I'd like to take a look at a short statement from Jesus. If you'd want to turn to Matthew 11, verse 15, I'd like to sort of start from this verse. So in chapter 11, it was fairly early on in Jesus' ministry, and John the Baptist had been imprisoned, and he sent some of his disciples to just sort of double check. Are you really the one who was to come from God, or are we still looking for another? And so Jesus began to give his answer, and he made some interesting statements, and he asked some interesting questions, such as in verse 7, so what really did you go out in the wilderness to see anyway? And then in verse 15, he says, from the days of John the Baptist, I'm looking at verse 12, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then he continues on describing this generation, which I'm not going to really spend much time looking at those verses, although they do fit. He says, whereunto shall I liken this generation? And I'm just going to stop there. I think that's a question that we can be asking ourselves as well. Whereunto, what is God going to compare? What is Christ going to compare this generation to? What is this generation going to be like? And so the message title, however, is out of verse 15, ears to hear. What was Jesus talking about? It's a very simple statement. And yet he says it numerous times in the New Testament. He says it again and again. And so there must have been a problem. And if the problem existed 2,000 years ago, do we still have a hearing problem today? And what is this hearing problem? And what's the solution to it? What was Jesus looking for? What was he asking? Why was he asking the question or making the statement? What was Christ concerned about? Was the Creator concerned the ear was not living up to what He developed it to be? Really? Was the Creator concerned that the ear was not living up to what He had developed it to be? And I'm going to take a few sentences from another writer that describes the ear. Just listen to it for a moment, because I'd like you to think about what was Jesus saying, and I want us to think about the ear for a moment. Jesus may have thought, well, it's really quite simple. I designed it myself. When the sound comes to the ear, it comes through the trumpet, it goes to the hammer, that starts to tap the anvil, and then the nerves go to work, and it sends the sounds down to the true ear, which is immersed in fluid. And as soon as the ear trumpet brings the sound to the drum transmits it to the fluid, and then thousands of telephones are at work as many as there are sounds in the universe, and that transmits it into the mind, and I hear. And I know that I got a little bit loud there, but you heard me. You heard words, and they're going into your mind, and they're connecting in your mind. There's something that's happening in your head. And Jesus created all of this, and yet he kept saying, if you have ears to hear, in their minds. Or maybe he was simply referring to this. Maybe no one's listening. I know what that feels like sometimes at the supper table. I'll get to the church service in a minute. But I know what that feels like sometimes at the supper table when everyone's talking and no one's listening. Or maybe I start to tell a story, and next thing I know, over at the other end of the table, which is a little further away now than what it used to be, there's a conversation starts up, and there's a hubbub going over there, and I say, hey, is anyone listening? You know. Was that what Jesus was talking about? Was he saying, I am talking, and there are so many disturbances, and there's so much going on that people aren't hearing me? They're not hearing my words. Is that what he was talking about? As I thought about this creation of God, Christ as the creator, and I thought about the ability to hear, my mind went to the account there in the garden where there were Adam and Eve, and they had just taken of the tree, and they had eaten, and then there they were in the garden, and they heard something. They heard the voice of God, and they became fearful, and they hid. Why? What happened? Why did they hide? Was it the first time they heard the voice of God? Doesn't seem to be the case at all. They had heard the voice of God many times. They had talked and walked with God. What happened? Why did they become fearful? Well, they understood that they were needy, sinful creatures. There was some understanding. And I'm not going to go any further with that thought of understanding, but there was, and what all that might mean, but there was certainly a new dimension of understanding that had opened up in the mind of Adam and Eve, that when they heard that voice, it did something that it had not done before. So what is hearing? I'm going to have 4 points from here on. I guess you could call it five if you include the introduction, which we've just looked at. But what is hearing? I'd like to consider that. What is hearing? The question needs to be answered. It must be answered. The question must be answered, because this morning you and I would like to know if we are hearing. Are our ears working? The statement from Christ, he that has ears to hear, rings through the New Testament. Do we hear the heart of God? Do we hear the cry of Christ the Redeemer as he cries? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Turn with me to Matthew 13. I'd like to look at a few verses there. Who hath ears to hear? I'm sorry, let me start at... I'm going to just actually tell you what happened in the first couple of verses. There was a great multitude gathered together, and he went into a ship there on the shore. And I'm going to picture the shore probably sort of sloped up from Jesus, so that allowed him to step back a little bit, and the crowd was there before him. And he spoke to them, and they heard him, and he began to tell them these parables, teach them these parables, the first one being about the seeds that the sower and the sower that went forth and what all took place there. And he says in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples came unto him and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Now maybe it would have been good for you all to have had your Bibles closed, and to have been listening, hearing. Did you hear what Jesus was saying here? Do these words, did the voice of my reading of them, did they open any understanding in your mind? That's what these verses are about. See, Jesus taught in a parable, and the disciples said, now, why do you teach in these parables? They're hard to understand. And Jesus said, that's exactly the point. Because there are a group of people here who, it doesn't matter what I say, they will not receive me. And there are others here who have already stepped into some belief of me. And those people are going to understand and receive me. Those are the ones, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but those are the ones who are hearing. Well, that's what we're talking about. What is hearing? So these people are hearing, they're understanding, and they're receiving. And he said, just like Isaiah said, or actually I'll look at that in a moment, but he said, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, through the thousands of years behind us, brothers and sisters, old people and young people, men and women have desired to see and hear what you and I are seeing and hearing this morning. Now, we weren't there sitting on the bank, but we are here today in, we'll open that up a little bit later as we go along, but there is a reason why I believe that we have not only a special privilege and opportunity, but responsibility as men and women because of where we're at in the revelation of God and so on. We'll look at that some more as we go along. But so what is hearing? Well, we see it right here. I already spoke it a couple times. Hearing is understanding. What Jesus was really saying is, while that sound goes in through the trumpet and the hammer starts to beat on the anvil and send those messages down into that whole thing that's happening right now, there's something else that's happening. There is an understanding of the mind that opens, and it opens. Why does it open? Well, that's something more we want to think about as we go along here. What is hearing? But it's understanding. The words sink into our minds, and our minds are opened, and we grasp truth such as we have not had before. We are instructed. We are opened up. There is a light that is shown. Knowledge often is referred to as light. But there is a light that opens up in our mind. Sometimes you hear the reference, oh, the lights just came on. You know, or you'll make the statement about somebody, it doesn't seem like there's anybody at home. Or the lights just didn't come on. Well, the lights came on. This is what's being talked about here. Jesus said, there's a whole bunch of people here who are seeing me heal. They are seeing me do miraculous things. They are hearing truths that they've never heard before, and the light's not coming on. But there are some of you that the light is coming on. There is here, there is understanding. So hearing is understanding, but it's more than that. You'll see it here in verse 15, towards the end of this verse. And he says, and they should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I shall heal them. So hearing is conversion. Hearing is changing. See, the hearing that Jesus was talking about was the kind of hearing that was going to impact the people's lives and make them say, well, what should we do to be saved? What is it that God desires of us? Where do you fit into the plan of God, Christ? What is the plans? Why are you here? Hearing is conversion, to be changed, to be able to it doesn't just stop with understanding. Hearing isn't just understanding, but it's going forward with choice and change. That's what hearing is. Hearing does that to us. Hearing calls us. Hearing, the kind of hearing, the kind of ears that Jesus was talking about, are the kind of ears that says, that's right. Now what am I going to do about it? It's truth. How does it impact me? That is the conversion that's being talked about here in verse 15 of chapter 13. Also, hearing is healing. Hearing, see, truth brings conviction, which brings conversion, which brings healing. It's a very simple plan that God has established right here. This truth brings healing. Hearing is healing. And so when you see when this takes place, not only will we hear the voice of God, we'll no longer try to hide from Him. Not only will we hear the voice of God, we'll no longer try to hide from Him. That's what takes place in the kind of hearing that Jesus is talking about. Hearing is relationship. You see, Christ was looking for intimacy. Christ was looking for a people who not only loved Him, but they loved Him for who He was and what He was bringing. They loved Him so much they wanted Him to be a part of the very center of who He was. That's the kind of hearing that Jesus was talking about. And so that's what Christ, He says, do you hear Me? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And another time is when He testified of His own death. And He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He also understood that Peter and those disciples, those ones who pushed back against Him when He made those kind of statements, said, no, what are you talking about? You can't do that. You're not hearing Me, Peter. You don't understand Me. You don't know what I'm trying to teach you. And sometimes Jesus became what appears to be frustrated. I don't know if that's the right word, but He became very saddened and He sighed. He expressed emotions of disappointment that those who were the very closest to Him so many times did not understand. They did not hear. They didn't hear what He was teaching them. And so the final thought that I have under this point of what is hearing, hearing is a privilege. This morning, you and I, as I already referenced, have the opportunity, the privilege to hear that which the prophets and righteous men of old desire to see and hear. Hearing is a privilege regardless of what it is. You know, there isn't any deaf people here this morning. No one is here. There is no sign language going on here this morning. It's not necessary because, as far as I know, everybody has the ability to hear My voice. But really what this message is about is to say, what is it going to take for us to hear? The teaching this morning should be a sign language to us or something to somehow help to enter into my own heart and mind what Christ is concerned about and what His desire is for us. But hearing is a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to just stand here and hear each other. But the kind of hearing that Jesus was talking about here has been reserved. It has been given to us in a way that I don't believe it was given to those in the old dispensation. I don't believe they had the privilege to hear and understand what you and I have the privilege to do. And we praise God for that. And yet, this morning, as we consider that, don't you just sense a little bit of new accountability that comes into our lives? I do. Hearing is a privilege. We have this privilege this morning. And so, I'd like to look at my next point is, of what is our hearing problem. Now, one of the ways which we can have a hearing problem is when we fall asleep. Maybe there's a little bit of a problem with that. I'm not sure if there is this morning, but let's continue on. Our hearing problem. What is our hearing problem? Well, turn with me to Acts 28. I'd like to look at some verses there. And Acts 28, I want to look at about 6 or 7 verses here. Now, there's going to be some of the same words because we are going to reference the prophecy of Isaiah here as we read in the last portion. But there's some other verses around that prophecy that I'd like us to look at. So Paul here is quoting this same writer. So what is our hearing problem, or our hearing problem? What is it? How is it? How do we define that? Do we have a hearing problem? Those are some questions that I think we could look at as we consider this point. Verse 23. Now this, I'll give a little bit of context again. Here is Paul. He has finally arrived to Rome. He's in Rome, and he sends out word to the Jews and invited them to come. And he explained to them why he was in Rome, and he asked them if anyone's told him about, if anyone knew about him, and they said, no. Have you heard about Jesus? Well, they've heard about this thing and this sect, and we know that everywhere it's being spoken against. And Paul said, well, come on over. I'd like to have a day where we sit down and we discuss this. And so verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. So they departed after Paul said this. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people was waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But I know, be it known therefore unto you, you Jews, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And so Paul dwelt there in Rome for a number of years. Now, it does seem like the prophecy of Isaiah was specifically pointed to the Jews, to Israel, to God's chosen people, and they were not hearing what God wanted them to hear. They did not hear. However, I do believe that this just as the gospel, as Paul proclaimed it here, had already been and was going to continue to be open to the Gentiles, so was the same prophecy of there being dull ears that was going to include both Jew and Gentile. Certainly was. I see it certainly applying to us as well. So what is our hearing problem? I'd like to suggest that, first of all, there's at least two motivations that we have that we may have that affect our hearing. First one is this. We may see, the first motivation I'd like to give may seem more noble, but it seems that the Jews had wanted to be convinced logically. They wanted to be able to come in agreement among themselves first, and they loved the debate more than the details. They loved the debate. They loved the debate more than they loved truth and what that truth meant. And so they came together there to hear Paul, and they sat there from morning until evening, and Paul taught them, and they debated Scripture. They discussed Moses and his testimony, his prophecies, and his accounts, records. They discussed the prophets and their prophecies. I can only imagine that they worked through the Torah and the prophecies, and they studied it out. And Paul showed to them that Jesus was the Christ, and that he was the Savior of the world. He had come. And so they had much discussion and much debate. But what seems to be clear to me is that they wanted to have the discussion. They were open to the debate, but when it really came down to it, they couldn't agree among themselves, which was part of the problem, first of all. And second, they loved to spend the time in discussion, but they weren't willing to get real with it. And so I think that may be one of a motivation that you and I have as well. We're willing to entertain the discussion. We would like to be learned men. We would like to be able to quote Scripture. We would like to be able to be recognized as someone. But are we hearing? And the other thing is that there's times when unity or agreement, where truth goes on the altar for that. I don't know how much that held together, but the peer pressure's immense. The old system was being challenged. The tabernacle was being shook. The priesthood was in question. And everything else. And so the second motivation may be maybe less noble than what the first seemed to be. And that is, this truth, when they really looked into it, meant tremendous changes in their religious system. And it was a system. They had developed more of a system than what God ever intended for there to be a system. And it was bringing change into that. Truth meant tremendous faith was going to be required. See, they had developed a means whereby they were able to sort of put faith down, I don't know. I mean, they sort of put it on a shelf somewhere because they had developed a world where it wasn't as required. And their religious system that they had honed over the years had removed much of their faith. I want us to think about that for ourselves for just a little bit. You see, one of the greatest challenges to our hearing, one of our problems that we have with hearing is that we recognize, especially those of us who have had the opportunity to hear truth from little on up, we come to a place where we recognize that truth and that the words that we've heard, the songs that we've sang, the Bible stories that we've read have a dimension of hearing to them that we have not yet received. And so when we begin to open our hearts to that hearing, there is going to be change. The system of life that I have developed is going to be shaken. It's going to be changed. And this truth is going to touch my life. Am I going to be okay with that? Where is it going to hurt me? What am I going to need to give up? How much of my fleshly desires am I going to have to put on the altar? And so we wrestle with truth. And Jesus is saying, do you hear me? Do you hear? Do I hear? And also some other descriptive terms of these people. And I would like us to consider it for ourselves as well, as in verse 27, for their hearts are waxed gross. Now we use that word gross sometimes to be for something that's very disgusting. We say, oh, gross. And you might say it with more emphasis than that. And this word simply just means that it becomes sort of thick. It becomes sort of leathery. It becomes sort of unnaturally, it's no longer supple. It's no longer in good working condition. There's sort of like fat surrounding it. It's waxed gross. And he says here, your hearts have waxed gross. They become fatty and lethargic. And their ears have begun to just sort of do a white noise sound of truth. They just sort of fuzz it out. They're not working right. Oh, the hammer's hitting the anvil. And the sound of the voice is going down into the inner ear, but there's a whiteout. It doesn't connect. You don't hear it. And beyond that, we don't hear it. And part of that whiteout is just the noise of our lives. It's the noise, the chatter, the busyness, the whatever it is, that's part of the noise. So that's part of what's going on here. Their eyes have they closed. We've talked about the eyes. Maybe a year ago I preached a message on that. It has some similar aspects to this one. Their eyes had similar problems. But why? Because they understood to hear and to see changed everything. You see, the Jews would have liked to have just stayed in the continual cycle and circle of debate. They wanted to debate truth, not surrender to truth. That's what was going on here. That's why Jesus said, that's why Isaiah prophesied of them so many years ago. They're going to be a people who are not going to hear. They're not going to hear. And so this is very classical of all of us. Either we ignore it, or we debate it, or we may do other things, but when we sum it all up, it's a rejection of truth. It's a rejection of understanding. It is knowing that the further I go into understanding, the more accountability I have. And so we draw back, and we don't want to hear it. We don't want to allow God to speak to us that way. But praise God, He has brought something to us that to the Gentiles. And Paul said, they're going to hear it. That's a wonderful proclamation, isn't it? They're going to hear it. Why? How is that? I don't know. That's not really the point of my message this morning, but I ask us this morning, do we understand our privilege? Do we understand this blessing or this wonderful proclamation that Paul made? And are we hearing? And so let's go to my next point, and that is our hearing aid. Our hearing aid. We talked about our hearing problem. Our hearing aid. I don't know if anyone has anything in their ears. I don't think there's any hearing aids here, as in, you know, that little mechanical thing that amplifies things a little. This morning, you and I think one of what the proclamation that Paul made was his understanding of the hearing aid that God had given to us. Something had changed. There were some things that, you see, the group of men who he had been debating with all day had so wrapped their lives around the Old Testament, they were having trouble transitioning. And Jesus said, and Paul said, or that we're going to hear. The Gentiles, what is our hearing aid? Let's think about it a little bit. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I don't know if you've all figured it out or not, but I've probably referred to this chapter enough of times. So I don't think I just built a message just to get to this chapter, but I think this chapter brings into focus this subject that we're talking about. We're talking about hearing. We're talking about a hearing aid. Has anything changed? Why are the Gentiles going to hear? I have some ideas I'd like to show to us here. First of all, the reason that one of our hearing aids, the first hearing aid that we have received, is I would like to just start back with this fact that Jesus has come. Jesus came and showed Jesus brought to us a revelation of God that the world had not yet seen. And so in that, and through his teaching in the parables, he opened up understanding of God, the kingdom of God, the desires of God, the heart of God, and given us all of that in the new dispensation, in the New Testament. That's what Christ came, and that's what he did. Now, also, just to set up a little bit, another foundation to this point is that this idea of men not hearing and understanding, this statement was also made not only in Isaiah, but also back in Deuteronomy 29, at least there, maybe one or two other places, where God said, these people don't hear me, and they don't have eyes that see and ears that hear. Or he said that there at Moab, after they had come through all the wilderness experiences and they were ready to go into Canaan, he said, now, you know, there are some things that have changed here. You have seen all my miracles. You have seen the water. You've seen the food. You saw that your clothes never wore out. And you've seen all of these things. And so, actually, you're starting to understand a little bit. He said, there's some changes that are happening here. And he recognized there was some hearing and seeing, because that's the words he used, that had taken place. And that was, I believe, one of the reasons why the children of Israel went on into Canaan at that point. But if you'll look here in Hebrews chapter 12, I just like us to think a little bit about some hearing that took place. So you have here in verse 18, where the writer of Hebrew just does a quick comparison to what took place at Mount Horeb, or there at the mountain in Mount Sinai, and what took place in the coming of Christ. And there was tremendous noise there in this verse 18 and 19, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of words, which voice that ye heard entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them anymore. This idea of a sound that just filled the ear so full that the people said to Moses, please just tell God just let us step back. And we're fearful of this, and it's too loud. It's too much here. And it was so terrible that was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. There was a hearing of the ear and at least an understanding that brought fear and trepidation into the hearts of the children of Israel as they viewed all of that. So our hearing aid this morning is in the next couple of verses. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh, did you hear? That speaketh better things than that of Abel. So you're going to see this again maybe. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as those things that are made. I believe that's talking about Jerusalem and the temple and that whole system. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's the new covenant, the new dispensation, the voice of God through Christ. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so, that is our hearing aid. That's our first hearing aid. The first hearing aid we have is that we are no longer looking to the mount, but we're looking to the voice that came to us from heaven. That voice. That is our first hearing aid. That is the way in which God has opened up the minds of those who will just receive him. That's why Jesus said, all it takes is just a little grain, a little bit of faith, as small as a grain of mustard seed. If you'll just open that up, I will pour into your mind, into your heart, understanding, and you will hear who I am. That's what's being taught here, I believe. And so, the Word became flesh. That's another hearing aid that we have. This Word, Christ, became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And so, we understand a revelation of God that did not exist prior to the coming of Christ. And so we have this book as well. So we have this book and we carry it with us and we open it up and we read it and we hear God's voice speaking to us. We read about those things which cannot be shaken, as Hebrews 12 references. We have the Spirit of God. We can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual, and the verses go on. But the point is, God has given us a hearing aid of the Spirit of God in a universal and accessible way that did not exist in the Old Testament. I think I can say that. I'm willing to accept that. And I just think that God has opened up a door, a hearing aid for us in the Spirit of God that is unique to this new dispensation, this covenant. Well, we also have, as you'll notice right here in these verses, we have the assembly. We have the brotherhood. This morning, we have the ability to come together. And I appreciate the way Brother Kevin opened the service this morning. It was basically just bringing us up short. This isn't just about coming together for another little exercise, but it's coming together to hear. It's coming together to be instructed. It's coming together to understand, and that is the heart of Christ. If this morning we leave from this place with understanding, It may not even be new because we've heard it before, but it's been re-riveted. It's been reopened to us. It's been reignited in us. Then this meeting, this assembly has been a success. It has fulfilled a primary purpose of the assembly of the saints, coming together. That's what opens our understanding. You know it, brethren and sisters. How many times have we discussed things and understanding was open to us? Truth was open to us. And so the assembly is a hearing aid that we have. The city of the living God that we dwell in, as it talks about here in verses 22 and 3. The general assembly, the church of the firstborn. I'm not sure what all is meant there, but in the Hebrew understanding, the firstborn was a very special spot, and all of us become the firstborn in the kingdom of God through Christ. Honored children. And so the final thought I want to bring from this as far as the hearing aid is that we have the grace of God. God has poured out His grace upon us. Understanding, hearing, the ability to become more like God because of. There is someone else mentioned the multiplication effect. And grace plays a role in that. We walk into obedience and grace enables us. And then grace multiplies to us and it opens us and we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All connected to this thing of hearing, understanding. Well, final point, closing point, our hearing test. Should we have one of those? And so there you are. You sit there at school and you put on and you hear the little screeching sounds and put up your hand, those kinds of things. Hearing test. I'm not going to turn to Psalms 81 because I'd like to close here just shortly. But if you'll go to Psalms 81, you will hear the cry of God. And I would like to say, first of all, that my first point is this, desire. One of the reasons Jesus made the statement as many times as he did is because there was not a desire to understand. That people really didn't care, or the people didn't really want to know, or they weren't willing to. They didn't really have a desire to live for God or to allow whatever they had already developed in their minds to be put down of what Jesus was about. So he says in Psalms 81, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels, in the hardness of their own hearts. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries." We see here the heart of God. We see God's desire for us. And for us to pass the hearing test that Christ was giving and that he was proclaiming, there must be a desire on our part. That same desire, reciprocal desire. God's desire to us doesn't do us much good unless we desire after God. And so this morning, I just believe that if we have that desire, we will also understand. We will hear and we will understand. So we see that in Psalms 81. I believe another point in this hearing test is commitment. Are we committed to the conviction that hearing brings? Are we committed to the change, the cross that hearing brings? That was where I believe Jesus felt like it came up so short so often. They weren't willing. The people were not willing. They didn't want to even think about that Jesus was going to die on a cross. And then he would say, and you all are going to become followers of me. You're going to have to suffer similar experiences. Commitment. Are we committed? Do we know the cut of truth? The best way to test our understanding and our hearing is if we know the cut of truth. Do we know the cut of truth? Do we know what that feels like? Are we experiencing spirit direction? Is my heart supple and healthy? Does it receive and enter into the commitment of hearing truth? hearing what Jesus has to say for us. And finally, another test of our hearing is in this thought of assurance. 1 John 5:20 says this, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Hearing and understanding brings assurance. It is one of the tests that we can measure ourselves with, that I can measure myself with. How are we doing in hearing? Do we hear? Well, it's 2,000 some years since Christ walked this earth, but the cry is still the same. He that hath ears to hear. May God bless us this week in our hearing. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do fall down here before you this morning. And we bow our hearts before you, O God, and we pray and we beseech, we ask you this day that you would grant us understanding. I pray that you would help us to hear. We thank you, Lord, for the creation, for your creation and this ability to hear one another. But I pray, O God, that we would hear you, that we would understand you, that we would receive your truth into our hearts. Forgive us, O God, where we have failed so many times in this. And our hearts have become gross. And the white noise that surrounded our lives has covered the sound of your word, of your spirit, of your truth, of conviction. And so I pray this morning that you would give us a new desire to hear, to understand, to receive, and to be committed to walk in truth. And I pray that you would give us a softness toward your voice, a softness toward your word, a softness toward your spirit. And I pray that we would, as we go from this place, that you would be able to show forth the life of Christ, the desire of God for humanity in our lives. And I pray that we would have the relationship with you, that we would not only know truth, but that we could communicate it. And most of all, oh God, I pray that we could walk with you in such a way that we would know that we are in Christ, that we would have that assurance and that rest and that peace that you desire us to have, regardless of our circumstances. I pray that you'd bless us as we part ways this week and as we travel miles, and the many that are already traveling miles into Bangladesh. And whatever our ways take us, we go so many different ways. I pray that there could be this similarity, regardless of our circumstances, that we all have ears to hear. Help us in this, increase our faith, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.